everyone. Welcome to our studio for the series of Talks on New Life. Rav Lightman, hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Nitza Mazaz. Hello. So we've been discussing in the previous period this topic of money, and we're glad that you're joining us to this talk. We'd like to continue to develop a subject, the topic that we touched upon for the first time in our previous talk, but the discovery of a new resource that exists in nature. This resource is the power of unity and sharing between people, a force of mutual guarantee. And we talked in our last conversation about how this resource has a great potential and that it needs to come to the front and to become a basis, a super resource that will dictate and direct the way we use all of the other resources that that humanity knows and has been using. So we'd like to continue and develop this subject because it's very interesting and we have many questions. We'd like to really feel things and to maybe get some exercises that will help us to bring people to a state in which they can locate this resource that exists between them. They'd be able to feel it and to feel the power in it. And I would like for Nitza, if you could, to maybe give us your insight that you have so far, so it will be a basis to the continuation. Like you said, it's a potential. The moment we've discovered that we have this new resource that to us is new, even though it existed before, so the first thing we want to do is begin to understand it. What is it? What kind of benefit can we get from it? And to begin and put it in a kind of laboratory and begin to find out what's inside it and later understand how we can connect to it, how we can develop it and with which tools. But the first stage is to understand it. What benefit does this new resource give to man?
Meaning, instead of competition, unity and connection. What do we get from it? How do we benefit? How can we realize it? And even before the realization, to examine what is the benefit? How much forces does it release to us? What is it worth?
Right.
A new attitude. This new attitude, this new approach, it is actually the very first action that has to be taken here, where the owners of this new method, those that understand it, are the people that will be able to aim society at the necessary new changes. So, first of all, we have to prepare the system. Those people that are studying themselves, that are the researchers, that will learn it on themselves, on their own body, meaning on their own desire, this new utilization of their new nature, of their nature, which so they can unite between them reciprocally, like in a puzzle, like we said before. And like we put together a puzzle out of small parts up to the big parts. This is how we also have to turn to our problem, the general human problem. We see that today, because we wanted to put together the puzzle through our previous resource, and we thought that as a result we'll get harmony in human society, that all of its parts will be interconnected through competition, and specifically the competition is what will clean us of the not so beneficial or useful things, and it will allow us to use new technologies and more useful resources, better resources. So we see that in the past, more or less 50 years, we see that it's working the other way around, that each and every resource that we use egoistically, it turns against us. Suppose that the medical care system, that instead of taking care through the medical system, the health system, as to how do we bring humanity to good health, suddenly that very system is interesting in taking control over humanity, controlling people through its resource. Therefore, they're creating redundant medicine. They're interested in people being ill and not healthy. They're interested in developing instruments that there's no need for, millions of tests that there's no real need for. But really, we're distancing ourselves from natural medicine or natural care that could be maybe more useful. And nonetheless, we're drawn to this kind of medicine. And turns out that the health system is very heavy. It wants to control. It wants to rule. It demands more and more resources for itself from the country and from the people. And instead of helping us, it rules us, dominates us. And instead of the health system, it becomes the very opposite. And that's how it is with each and every resource we wanted for the media to be what they're called, media, like a mediator between people, something that unites and connects people in order for us to use information, to know about the whole world, to know how to use all the things that the broad world is allowing people. We see that there's an egoistic, the stinkiest kind of use. It's being taken advantage of by people with private interests. They take over our minds, wanting to sell us different things, and we, for them, in short, it's not in favor of humanity, but humanity for them becomes like some kind of stuff by which they want to, or that they wish to, exploit, use, and benefit off. Educational system. It's twisted through our ego in different directions, not in order to educate people the way that, or what it itself is supposed to do. It's not education at all, but it teaches a person what's useful for it and what can be beneficial for him, and throw that person out into the big world. And a person comes out into the world, he doesn't know how to behave with others, he's not educated, he doesn't know how to behave in a family, how to build himself, how to build his own personal life, how to be correctly interconnected with society. There's no human being there. It's not an educational system. Maybe there is very partial schooling there. And since we're in an ever more developing world, then this schooling, the acquisition of knowledge, loses its strength, because a person has to constantly study and learn and become more sophisticated. It's not that he studies like 10 years in school and he's ready for life. That's it. But it loses its intensity. Therefore, the parents don't want their kids to study at school. They see the kinds of behavior that go on there. This is something that you can give kids at home easily through the internet or private circles and so on, private classes. We see that a private health care instead of the general health care, private education or instead of the educational ministry, media, why is it crumbling? Because people believe more what's going on the virtual network than what the media says. Because obviously it's clear to us that they want to control us this way and confuse us. All the systems, wherever we thought that they will work in our own favor, commerce, what could be better? But as a result of the control of the great companies, the big companies, by which they want to that want to rule, they destroy what's not convenient for them and force us to use them. We see they destroy countries, the country, whatever exists in a specific country, in order to sell them those same things that there was, that country had earlier, before it was destroyed. And so they control and dominate. That's how it is with the big companies. That's how it is everywhere, in every realm, in social life. We see that at least in the 20th century, what we've achieved, what we've attained, is a very clear picture where all that a person wanted to use in order to advance, in order to reach an enlightened, good, secure future, it all turned upside down against him, adversely. Private person in particular, and also in general, all of us and the systems themselves. And that's what's interesting about it, that still, the politologists, sociologists, economists, they still don't really digest that the systems themselves, that even though they twisted it against people, that these systems are not working. They stopped existing. They ceased to exist. They exist because out of lack of any other option, because we're still having a hard time to find anything that can substitute them. But this is actually the crisis. The crisis is not in the systems themselves, but in the way that we use them, where our ego, it's not in vain that competition turned them into something unuseful. But since the ego started taking over, starting taking control, especially in the financial system, we started creating a bubble, meaning we started to use everything adversely against the society that is actually owner over those resources. And by that, we actually, as a result, we discover the source of the problem, which is the wrong utilization of man's ability to develop. Now, its revelation is a gradual revelation until it reaches an understanding, a perception, and the vast of humanity. Those same people that were educated in politics, in economics, in the commerce system, in industry, in the previous systems. It's not simple. We see that to this day, nonetheless, when we read what the world leaders say, they are still as if in the old approach, the old attitude. They think that things will still turn and something will happen because they can't let go of those things. They have nothing to cross into, nothing to shift to, because we see that in our ordinary egoistic approach, we don't see what's the next step. How can we advance? What's standing there? It's the very first time in history that we don't see the next step, and as much as we think that, this will go by as well, things will turn, it's going to be okay, we'll find a new approach, a new light at the end of the tunnel, and it does not come. The collapse is becoming ever greater and really threatens us. And it's not because of the resources themselves, but we use them incorrectly. And here we have to change man's attitude. We have to change man himself, his brain. We have to put a new program into him, a new approach as to how to decipher these things, how to start and control them in a new way. And of course, this is the hardest change to be made, because in all the previous phases through which humanity has developed in the development of its ego, humanity didn't have to change itself. It changed the world, technology, the different connections we had in commerce, industry, and so on. All was in one direction, to develop with man's egoistic heart, to acquire, to control, to dominate, and so on. Now that we've reached the recognition of evil, that it is our attitude that's incorrect because our heart's wrong. So here we really have to make self-scrutiny for the very first time in history, and therefore, the change here has to be an ideological change, an essential change. And therefore, we of course, here we need to understand and show everyone, explain to them that the change has to be in man himself. And we can't advance without that, and even though many people agree to it, still it's not a man's ability, it's not in a man's, the heart is incapable of it, and the mind, which is controlled by the heart, doesn't have the ability to develop this kind of system, simply speaking, to approach it directly and to start. But here, we have to start teaching man with this new kind of education, and every time examining more and more correctly, where is our new resource, which is the right kind of connection, reciprocity, the integral kind of attitude? How can we introduce it? Through what phases? How can we introduce it into our life? How will this connection work? How will it gradually substitute the previous approach, which was failing, which was now? I think that only to the extent to which we will be able to educate people, will we be able to build a new system of relations, of relationships, and man's approach from within himself towards the children, the family, his life at home, home economics, the whole attitude towards what he lives in, humanity in general, and nature altogether. All that has to come step by step, gradually, because here, actually, the person himself, man, is the center of everything. This new resource, it's not aimed at the change of external systems, but first of all, to change man himself, and with the help of that new person, new man, that where he understands that we have no choice. We have to be correctly interconnected, like in the right kind of puzzle. Then undoubtedly that new person will build these new kinds of systems out of his new attitude and his new approach, which will aim him in each and every state that he has in life, to be connected correctly with his family and neighbors, and generally in life and so on, ever-growing circles. There are two points of view to this from two different angles. One is from below, where we have to penetrate and introduce this education of reciprocity, unity, integrality into the masses as broadly as possible, and specifically from the broadest, lowest layer in society. And we also have to get into the higher systems of government and people that are engaged in commerce and industry, in order to make this new attitude clear to them, that whether they want it or not, they'll acknowledge it and start understanding that they are undergoing this necessary change, that it is good for them and beneficial for them to know in advance what's going on, so they themselves will understand the necessity of these things. And since they are very wise and strong, we're very wise and strong people with lots of strength and force, they'll understand that there are unlimited possibilities here to advance, because their safety for the future, economical safety and pride and envy and competition, all that doesn't disappear. All of these kinds of attitudes. Also, when we start using this new resource, only that the goal is different. Anyone who competes with the others, as successful, the more successful he is in putting together that puzzle in a better and more correct way, that is his benefit. And those very systems that operate in the field with their different resources, energy resources, and all the sources that we have from commerce and health and education, and all of these systems, each one of them has to compete with the others and with itself, inside itself, to see how every such private resource can fit in correctly into this new puzzle and putting it together harmoniously, reciprocally, in our VUT, mutual guarantee. So therefore, we have to use our ego correctly here, so that here we are fighting against our egoistic nature in order to lead us to a new, safe, and secure life. It's a psychological war, internal war, of each and every person and society in general. And here we have to find great strengthening for this, for man himself and for society in general. Like before, man used to fight both himself and others in order to provide himself with fulfillments. Fulfillments for his ego, for his own security, control, pride, all these things now as well. Only the extent to which he finds it in this new order to be great, to be respectable, to be greater than others, to be special, unique, successful. We have to respect them for that. We have to give each and every person the opportunity to do this. And this is only in accordance to the extent to which he puts this new goal, the goal of mutuality and maximum participation, mutuality, reciprocity, instead of the egoistic goal that he had earlier. And all that is by the support of society, by the mutual support, to the extent to which on the media, public opinion, this principle will all the time be more and more in control.
I have a question, may I? You said that competition does not disappear. But here we have a new kind of competition, which is how successful will I be in putting the puzzle together in the right way?
How much I bestow onto society, the well-being of society, to elevate it, yes. Imagine that this is how we use the healthcare system. For example, the healthcare system is a system that the second in its size in terms of taking money after the system of arms, the security system, the health system, and the third is the educational system. Now imagine if let's not take the security system into consideration, because there's a lot what to say there. Anyone who was to the army understands how much spending there is there, that it's limitless. And therefore, moving the army or shifting it to become a private army, working on contract. That is something that is becoming now more and more on the agenda in different countries. It pays off because you need experts in the army. You don't simply need soldiers to run around. You don't need these soldiers. You need experts who are in the army for years, that each one of them has his own profession, has his own attitude. This is on the one hand. On the other hand, they'll make sure how not to use and how not to spend and how to utilize things the best possible way. Today, there's no such thing in the army. Today, it's really like you don't take anything into consideration. You don't count money, you don't count human resources, you don't count nothing. So suppose the healthcare system. Imagine, were the healthcare system to examine thoroughly, how can it restrict itself down to the optimum state with respect to man's health? Not how much can it benefit off medicine and take more from the country budget, but to be more useful in preventing illnesses. How much we can save? I think more than half. More than half. We don't need such a developed health system. It's not useful. It's not beneficial in its current size. What we need is we need it in a new attitude, a new approach towards man, towards population. We have to make sure that there will be no illnesses and not like the current healthcare system being interested in people being ill because they're interested in selling medicine. They give doctors orders to write out a few more prescriptions to each and every person. A person who takes a few kinds of medicine per day, that's called normal. Why is that normal? We have to develop a bit of a different kind of medicine that prevents illnesses from us. But no one's interested in that. You see? Therefore, we're destroying ourselves through these big systems that truly eat up all of our resources. 30% or 20% or how much or whatever goes to the healthcare system. It's called a healthcare system, but they're working truly against it, the very opposite. The same with the educational system. There's plenty being invested into it. These are tremendous sums, but how beneficial is it? It's not beneficial at all. We see that in the private sector, private educational sector, if we can organize it so that it will be, that it will cost us less money, if it will only be organized correctly, not 100% private. We see that what they learn in school, you can learn it in a short period of time at home without the violence and without, you know, destroying our children. We see how beneficial it is. Why is everyone trying to, is fleeing the general health care system to the private health care system, or the general education to the private education sector? Let's suppose that in our country, in a small city, where every municipality is like 2,000 people that are that it organizes, suppose 2,000 people, let's do something more beneficial. You'll see how much less of that there will be much less waste. Let's take people voluntarily that will also take care of their whole environment. We can do plenty of things. Meaning here, on this or in this new resource, we can save so much that suddenly we can discover that as if we don't need to work that much. We don't have to pay that much for all of these things. And we see that whether you want it or not, nature through the crisis necessitates us to advance towards that. We'll have no choice. I won't have anything in my pocket to cover for all these things. Eventually, I'll find myself without health care and will no longer be able to sustain the educational system as before, and so on and so forth. We have to take into consideration how much freedom can we give the media. It's freedom to people who got no education but simply know how to twist our minds since they're being paid for it. Besides getting paid by the system where they work, they're being bought. We know who controls the media, that there's kind of an article or an attitude or an approach or an opinion in the media. It's because there's someone standing behind it that's interested in it. So we need to really build the media as our media, as a mediator. It has to be the stage from which the method of the method that connects between people comes from, and not the other way around. Let's calculate how much, if we change all of these systems, how much will these systems, how much profit will they give us? And besides, the millions of people that are now being laid off from work because there's nothing you can do. There isn't. The current crisis, nonetheless, forcefully cleans, if you don't want to do it gradually, nicely, and so on. It cleans all the industry and commerce, which is unnecessary, which is redundant. The big companies go into bankruptcy. People go to the streets. They go home. The country can give them a small sum that they can live off, and when industry decreases and the taxes could no longer cover the limited life of the people, what's going to happen then? A person who's hungry, he takes to the streets and he's ready to kill anyone. At home, he has hungry people. We understand what that could lead us to. Meaning, to begin with, it's good for us to understand that we're advancing towards systems that will work according to new formulas. And then, only then, if we will start developing them, we will reach peace and tranquility. Otherwise, we'll come to riots and wars, both inside the countries, between the poor and the rich, and also worldwide between the countries. Unless we start softening our ego and starting to see, to show its evil to everyone, that it is our common enemy.
So maybe we can make a summary for now to feel what we've understood. What I understood is that all the systems are actually, the system itself is not the problem, but the way we use it is the problem. So if I see the system as a kind of engine that is motivated by a kind of, or fueled by a kind of resource that, let's say we call it fuel, and it works in a certain direction, so we see that this direction is beginning to cause us very great damage, and even symbolically, fuel is now costing very, very a lot of money, and it's becoming unattainable. We work a lot to get it. So now you're talking about a new resource that needs to go into the same system, but it will operate the system in a completely different way, and the results that we will get will be completely the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then what you described so well before is that how the health system, for example, if it's reached a system in which
it serves itself.
It serves itself instead of the public. So if the moment that we fuel it with this new resource, which is equal, of course, has the same value, then we will be able to also save a lot.
Right.
Meaning that one will also enjoy it much more, and also you'll be able to save a lot of money
right.
at the end of the day.
And it's all interconnected. Take out all the things that are bad for you off the supermarket shelves, all the food that's bad for you. Start engaging in preventing activities or healing activities or something like that, and we'll see how much healthier people will become. It's well known that what the Americans did with all their junk food and with all their sugar, that they're how much they destroyed health, but it was beneficial for them, for that health system, which is in America, it's really equal to the defense system. Now, on their elections, then what determines if I choose him or I choose her? What determines the health system, the thing that is more beneficial for me to have? Accordingly, I choose one or the other to be president. It's that bad. So things, they demand a new attitude.
So there are two main things that I see here which we might have some difficulty in handling. The first is that to understand that we have this new resource and to understand it, how can we even connect to it, how do we begin to develop it between us? That's one. And two, we have habits. We are addicted to the previous resources. We need to go through a kind of process of change.
Of course, it doesn't come all at once, but the more we advance, we'll prevent the collapse. Otherwise, it will fall on us very dramatically. But it's good for us to advance and as much as we can kind of break the whole thing, stop it.
Now, how can we begin to develop in us this new approach to this new resource? We understood that it exists, and like we said, we put it in this laboratory. We began to understand that it has a good benefit. That was our summary. It's beneficial. This resource is good. Now we need to begin and see how can we actualize it gradually between us.
I think that it's possible if it is in the framework of all our small country, then it is possible to do through different actions in the field. But the main strike has to be through the virtual system, that we have to open some kind of, call it a university, call it something, an educational entity, a virtual educational entity that will publicize itself and publicize this method with all the proof and the whole approach and all the attitude as to how it's supposed to be, and they will send their appeals to the different governments and the markets and everyone. And it'll start penetrating them, even though they're against it and opposed to it. We understand that's how it is. We are in a state where this is what we came to. And this is how we nonetheless have to publicize ourselves step by step as much as we can to get into that network. And the more the people will feel the crisis, the more they will understand that what we say, there's a new rationale to it, there's a new approach here, a new attitude, and really that probably this is where the savior is, and they'll start understanding and purchasing these things, the knowledge, the attitude. We need courses, we need many examples. In short, all that the virtual media can provide us with, help us with, this is how I see the things. And not in any other way. And maybe it'll also be on television. In our country, it's for sure. In the world, it's also possible. But first of all, there has to be the approach through the internet. We're free to work there, and we have to see how this tool really opens up for us.
I have a question from a slightly different angle on this matter of the resources. If I compare this new resource or this new coin, which is founded on cooperation, connection between people, to other resources, let's compare, for example, to oil. Not every person, if we take you or Nitsa or myself, not everyone can go and search for oil on, by themselves. I need to be a big city, a state, just so that I would have the option to act in order to attain this resource that's in nature, for example, oil. So this new resource that we're now talking about and developing, which actually exists in this new connection between people, if I understand it correctly, it's available to every person. So there's no limitation of size or tools.
Nothing. Every country.
No, I'm not talking on the scale of a country. I'm talking about the individual. Can I personally, Oren Levy, who lives in Petah Tikva, I'm not going to look for oil or gas tomorrow. I can't. But this resource of connection and collaboration between people, I can go and search for and find and develop.
Right.
So then that means that this new resource is actually available to all. It's available to everyone. Now, how can I, with what tools, companies or countries, they search for oil with all kinds of technologies and drillings or I don't know what, but can we here develop a tool for me, the individual, me, Oren, with which I can go and begin to locate this new resource and be one who has resources? I have this opportunity to be of resources.
Yes, you can, if you unite with other people together with whom you built this puzzle. This puzzle, you're not building it through commercial companies. You're building it through human society, through the right kind of connection within society. And then from this connection, you start building, you start formating the commercial companies, the health system, the educational system, the first and foremost, the social system, that are closest to the implementation of this new resource. So first of all, in them. And then by that, you change man's attitude. He starts understanding how to also change the systems in the commercial companies, in industry, and in commerce. He starts understanding that there has to be here a new attitude, a new approach, an approach of reciprocity, of mutuality, that if there's something in, like this in the world...
You need what?
That suppose if there is some kind of a company that manufactures company, there doesn't have to be another pen company. Maybe that one is enough. I don't have to manufacture something in order to prove that I'm better, suppress you, and take your place. Competition has to be... compensating competition.
What does that mean?
The extent to which we need it in order to serve humanity. And the basic general things that we need to provide humanity with, and not that we're creating redundant stuff that we manufacture them on purpose so they will break after a certain period of time. And anything that you buy, it was made so, manufactured so on purpose, so it will be destroyed after a short period of time.
I'd like to, can I for a moment? We're talking about this discovery of a new resource, and we've received a question that is concrete, is from the field, and I think it will help us to develop this discussion to a more practical exercise. So there's a situation in which a round table will take place. This round table is something that our organization will operate. It will be a social event, and people will come there who don't know each other. They live in different places, but they come because the topic that will be discussed at this round table interests them and touches them. And the topic that's been defined is the essential existential needs are becoming more and more difficult to come by. We must change something. That is a topic. the needs, our livelihood is more difficult, and a person finds it difficult to reach his necessary needs. So this is why people are coming. The first part of the evening, there will be all kinds of people who will sit there and say one is a professor of economics, another one volunteers at an organization that helps the needy, another is in a green organization, another is a social worker, and then someone from our organization, a representative. So we know that we need to change something, because in the first part we talk about needing to change something, and in the second part it will be a discussion of the public there and discussing this question. So what kind of questions would you give to such a discussion so that the people who are participating will taste in something the quality, the essence of this resource that we're now talking about, that this resource of collaboration between people and sharing can solve the problem that we're talking about in this evening, how it's becoming harder to meet our needs. What questions will you give to the public to discuss in order for them to taste this resource here and now around this round table?
In a person's needs, we discover the main essential needs, which are food, accommodation, family, kids' education, health, security. These are the main things, and I'm not putting work in here. Maybe he doesn't need to, because work is a means. Why not, child? Give us money. Give us the money. Give us the opportunity, the possibility to live. People are not taking to the streets in order to get work. It's not the right kind of cry. It's a cry about not having something. It's just a means. So the food for the living body, we nonetheless are a part of the living world. A person, he has consciousness and so on, but he's from the living level. So first of all, we have to provide him with basic food, minimum food. Not minimum, but for him to be able to exist, so he won't feel himself that hungry. But, you know, in a normal way, and we, according to our calculation, we can calculate how much calories does he need per day, or what kind, more or less, of a basket does he need, like 2 eggs, half a bread, cheese, or half a cottage cheese, or some vegetable, or chicken, or something. Basic, simplest things. But this has to be available for each and every person in average. So instead of a vegetable, you take some kind of, sausage, and that lady takes a mango instead, or whatever. Doesn't matter, each according to his own habits, but we can determine that this is something that each person has to get, because he's alive, and it's not up to him. It's not something which is surplus, or whether I'm married or not, or I want to develop one way or another. It is something that is not up to me, the food. And therefore, let's first of all provide it to every person. Later, you can talk to him, you can teach him, you could put him into prison, you could put him into any other place, you can do anything you want with him. Please, we'll discuss this later. What do we do with people? They sit at home, or they go to work, but to fill them up with food, this is a must. It's clear to us all. So let's make sure. Let's take care of that. If we do that, we take off 90% of a person's concern due to the upcoming crisis, undoubtedly, that this is something necessary. And later on, we will determine the same according to the basic food basket. Not the way we have it today, but really, normally, today it's really inflated. That's it. And we'll turn to other things as well, but food, health, These are the essential things for the body. That's it.
The public, the people that are going to come to this event, I see here that it will be, they will be from the middle class and less, and it won't be very poor people or people who are starving. It'll be middle class and maybe less, that will feel that livelihood is becoming more and more expensive, and they need to change something. So I'll repeat what I'd like you to define. What questions would you give to this for the discussion of such a panel who want to discuss this topic? What questions, guiding questions, will you have them discuss between themselves?
Do they think that the natural resources, ecology, allows us to continue advancing so that the middle class minus wants to reach the middle class plus level? And if they think that yes, then what prevents us from that?
I didn't quite understand the question. The first part I didn't quite understand about the resources.
The first part?
Yeah, the first part was like this. Do you think, let's say Nitza and I are at this table, do you think that the resources, the treasures of Earth, allow us to continue to advance so that the middle class and minus would want to, would be able to reach middle class upwards, plus?
Yes, we know that specifically the middle class that started developing 50, 60 years ago, and everyone thought that they'll reach a good, strong middle class, a house and a car for everyone, and work and kids and education and pension and vacation. The American dream, so to speak, you know, the bourgeois fat American dream. For everyone to have that, let's develop, let's reach that. Why is it that suddenly that whole cities in America go bankrupt? Why isn't it working? What do you think? Don't tell me that there are such companies that stole from us, you know, all those companies that back in 2007, 2008, it was found out that they built the pyramid and they took money and so on. Don't tell me that. It's a result, all in all, from humanity. It's a result from our approach to life. And what? It won't happen today. So a few people are sitting in prison. So, on the contrary, the American government gave those companies even more money to sustain them, to prevent them from collapsing. So our society itself, altogether, is ill. It has a sickness. How can you, as doctors, as bright people, researchers, judges, suppose, what kind of a diagnosis do you put to this patient, which is our current society, and what medicine do you think that can help us? You want to reach from intermediate, from the middle minus class to the middle plus class? What do you want to do? But not just talk, but in the clearest, deepest possible way, with an understanding of not simply like giving an injection, a shot to a wooden leg, but an injection to a living body that is truly useful and beneficial. If you now give a wooden leg an injection, it does nothing. After some period of time, you find out that you're in a worse state. Only now, in the meantime, you wasted that shot. It's a shot. It's like the billions of hundreds of billions of dollars given to the European market and other places and so on. But they have no choice. We see that it didn't do anything. And they have no choice. They'll give more money. And it's specifically that the middle class will be the ones paying the price. So how do you prevent yourselves from falling? That's it. Clear ego is the question. What do you think that you have to do? You, all of you, are scholared people. But don't blame anyone. All of us are part of society. If someone stole, and if someone's a murderer, and someone does, twists everything around through his business and so on, you would have done the same in his place. Undoubtedly, it is a result of education, society, the supports that he gets from different places. Me, myself, were I in his shoes, I'd do the same. What does it mean, his shoes? If I would have reached his position, I would have been like him. It's impossible that he's a good, nice person and he is at the top of the egoistic pyramid. Impossible. That's it.
Yes. Perhaps we can add, I identified a question or two so far, but maybe we could add another question that would take them to a direction of an emotional taste, something that will allow them to feel this new resource by which we can reach from being middle minus class to middle plus class.
How can you stop, prevent, block your descent from the middle class to minus, that this is the inclination now, this is the tendency, by changing relationships in society? Let the tycoons be, the governments and the all those people that are in control, it's not up to you. They'll keep on doing it and all that is in their disposal. But how do you, as people, in the relationships between you, can improve your life in order to prevent deterioration? For sure you'll get less and less money from one month to the next. For sure that things will become more expensive, and you'll get less money from wherever you get it from, and you'll pay more. For sure, part of the people will lose their jobs and live off their savings or some kind of pennies that they'll get from Social Security. From the middle class minus, they truly become minus. How do you prevent this deterioration in whatever is in your ability to do? Is there a possibility to do it, or are you simply waiting for tomorrow and the only things that you can philosophize around a round table? Is there something that you can do? And if it's not at your disposal, suppose we can provide you with it. But what is it that you think that you have to do? What kind of a new attitude? What kind of a new organization? Please think, give us an answer.
And nonetheless, and still an emotional experience, because until now it's been a thinking process, something emotional.
No, I want to bring them to an emotional solution.
An emotional solution.
Yeah, that only the right kind of connection between people can help them save and bring them to a new kind of society, attitude, approach, system, and in the meantime it will prevent deterioration. But the truth is that after you don't have even Social Security to pay for your unemployment. To pay for your unemployment, the country won't have money. If there is a general bankruptcy, where will it take the money to pay? So it's the same. It's just they're cheating you, conning you. You'll come to the shop, they'll give you 20 shekels, and that's it. You won't be able to buy anything. Where will the country take it all?
We're nearing the end of this show. I'd like to hear a sentence, one summarizing sentence about the matter of this new resource and the positive potential that it brings to our life, like a light forward.
The new currency is connection and mutual help. The organization of the classes from the middle class on down by getting organized between them, not in jumping each other and not by threatening one another, but they get organized between themselves. How can they get food and health in the right way? That is rational and so on, only as a result of getting organized together and the connection between them. There's a great potential, a real possibility to continue and exist out of thin air, really. From pennies, they'll discover that, or they'll discover additional great forces that will give them health and the possibility and hope and uplifted spirits only as a result of unity. That's for the meantime. Only for those from the middle class and down. When the tycoons will start collapsing, then we'll talk about what to do with the general system. In the meantime, we're only talking about protecting the lower layers against their collapse. Yes.
Our time is already ending, so we have to stop here. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. And thank you also to you for being with us. We'll meet next time. Until then, all the best and goodbye.